Bustin' Loose Baseball,
hosted by Grant Paulson
and Toby Altizer,
gives you in-depth
analytics
and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
All right, you mentioned Lipscomb. Let's move on to what's going on in camp, because here we are, it's March 20th, and he's still starting more often than he isn't. I mean, you look at the lineup just about every day, and we're at a point now where, you know, they're getting the big league group ready to go to Washington, D.C. to play a full 162 here, to the point where, you know, now you're staying in the game longer, you're playing closer to a full game, you're playing games back-to-back. This is not a makeshift lineup, game in and game out, essentially. And I say that to say that you got to start considering the possibility that Trey Lipscomb is going to make this roster. There's some question as to how does that work and what does it look like from a numbers standpoint. I think it's very possible that the Nats don't keep Nassim Nunez in the big leagues. He was the Rule 5 draft pick that they brought over from the Miami Marlins. I would prefer to keep him in the majors. You brought him over knowing exactly what he is, and he's been that in camp. Like, he's not going to hit. He's a terrific defensive player. He's a really nice backup shortstop type to C.J. Abrams. But last year, there were 15 Rule 5 picks, if memory serves, and five of them got returned to the team that, you know, that they were on previously at the end of spring training. They didn't make the roster effectively. For people that don't know how this works, I guess we should explain, you know, Rule 5 pick, you draft a Rule 5 player, Tobe, you got to keep that guy on your 25, 26 now, man, major league roster. You're not allowed to send him to the minors. You're not allowed to, like, stash them on the injured list for, you know, some fake injury. They've got to be on your roster, protected all year long, or else the team that you claimed them from gets to bring them back. And the Rule 5 draft is essentially a collection of players based on the amount of time they've spent in an organization in the minors who haven't been added to the 40-man roster. So it just prevents teams from, like, stowing away a really talented player who they don't have room for. If they don't get their chance, another team can claim them and bring them into their own fold. So teams like Washington or Oakland, you know, the bad teams in baseball, can really benefit from this and pluck guys. And that's what they tried to do with Nunez. They could just return him to the Marlins. The problem is, you know, you'd probably like to have him in the show and maybe not keep Luis Garcia, but he's out of options. So I don't know what you could do with Luis Garcia. I would not be surprised if they're trying to trade Luis right now. In fact, I'll bet you they're trying to shop him. And I would try to sell high on Victor Robles after another good spring, just because Jacob Young's played well. You know, you can free up money. Robles costs money, not a lot, but a little bit. Garcia costs some money. They're going to have to add some of these NRIs, these non-roster invitee relievers and such, to the roster, are going to cost $1 million, $1.5, $2 million, whatever it is. So if you free up a little bit of cash, not that the payroll matters, you can move those guys and still get better. Maybe you keep Nunez. Now you start Lipscomb at the big league level as your everyday second baseman or third baseman. Well, I guess it wouldn't be third because of Senzel. But Jacob Young is now free to start in center because Robles is gone. That's what I think they're probably doing. I just don't know if they're going to get any takers on those guys.
Yeah, I think with Nunez, I would like to keep him if possible, but I don't know if it's going to work when Trey Lipscomb is knocking down the door to be on the big league roster. Nunez, you know what you're getting. You're getting a guy that's good defensively, that can play up the middle, and he can steal bags, and that's about it. You're not going to see him hit very well, and he hasn't hit well this spring, a 154 batting average, a 214 on base. So you're not going to get much at the plate. He's going to bat in the nine hole anytime you put him in the lineup, or he's going to be a late game defensive replacement, but he can give you a little spark on the base paths. And when you've seen him out in the field, he's been quite electric with his arm out there in at shortstop. But when you have Trey Lipscomb doing what he did tonight, as we record this on Wednesday evening, Trey Lipscomb went 3-for-4 today and was a triple shy of the cycle, 4 RBIs. It raised his OPS in the spring to 973. He has a 372 batting average. It's kind of hard to not keep this guy up. And Rizzo's philosophy has been all along, these guys will tell you when they're ready. Well, I think a 973 OPS tells you he's quite ready, because the question was never the defense with Lipscomb, even though that was kind of the knock coming out. The knock hasn't been the defense because he won a gold glove last year. So he can play all over the infield. He showed you that in the spring. And now his bat is playing at a real level. So it's tough because you give up on Garcia, even though you feel like you've spent a lot on him. You've tried to improve him. And it seems like, I don't know if it's getting through, because it felt like things were getting a little bit better. And then you had back-to-back days earlier this spring where Davey Martinez basically called him out in the media saying, I'm done with this. I'm absolutely done with this. And so, yeah, I try to look to move him. If you can get something for him, great. But when you've got a guy where you've seen what he is in Luis Garcia, and he's a solid ball player, but you haven't gotten what you wanted, and you have a guy in Trey Lipscomb who feels like you need that reward, I kind of feel like you got to go with Lipscomb there and just find a way. And if it's means moving on from Garcia, it means moving on from Nunez, fine. I think it's interesting, too, with third base. You mentioned Senzel. They're going to play Senzel there at third base. There's no question about it. They signed him to a major league deal. But it's not as if he's written in Sharpie either for the entire season, right? I mean, this is a guy that he was once a top prospect, but he hasn't really panned out in his major league career. So they're going to play him. But it's not as if Lipscomb, if other guys start taking spots, Lipscomb couldn't steal his spot too. So it almost just feels like you put Lipscomb on the roster, you figure out, you tell Davey, just figure out a spot to put him, whether it's taking Luis Garcia's spot that day at second base, whether it's giving Senzel a day off at third, whether it's getting CJ off his feet and having him DH that day and having him play short. This guy can play all over the infield, so it's not as if he's limited to one spot. Just put him on the roster. He's ready. And it feels like, too, when you look at what this spring training has done, I don't know how much it is for the team as much as it is the fan base, but the fan base feels a little energized, Grant. It feels like they're pretty excited about these guys. And it almost feels like if you don't have any of the young guys make the roster, you can let a little air out of the balloon. And that's fine if the, you know, you don't want to necessarily make decisions on what's going to best appeal to the fan base. But if you can have Trey Lipscomb make the roster and then he balls out in the month of April, imagine the excitement that just grows for this national season as Dylan Cruz and James Wood get closer to the big leagues as well.
Oh, totally. I mean, the flip could happen too, right? Not that it would mean he's not going to be a long-term contributor, but you could have him on the roster. He could get off to a slow start. You could have to send him down or something like that. So they just need to make sure they feel like he's ready beyond having a great spring. But I mean, you mentioned his production as we tape here tonight, where he had the home run. He hit the two-run homer, I think it was, with one out. It was a two-run homer with two outs in the second inning against Steven Matz, who's a longtime major league starting pitcher, right? So he's now doing this against starters and relievers who are going to be in the show, and he has been for much of the spring. You mentioned the numbers after his 3-for-4 with four RBI. You know, 372 average, 974 OPS this spring. He is consistently had really, really good at bats. Interestingly, you know, it's similar. 5 walks, 7 strikeouts. He's stolen a base. I think for me, it's now almost a foregone conclusion he's going to make the roster. Like, I would be very surprised if he didn't. Davey Martinez had a quote after the game just a little bit ago, where he was asked if Lipscomb would be on the roster if he's not a starter. In other words, like, could you keep him up as a bench bat or platoon type guy? Not platoon, but a utility type guy. And Davey said he'd have to play to be on the roster. He said, I think he's good enough to play every day, though. From what we've seen this spring and from what I know about him and saw in the fall league, he's pretty good. I mean, that's Davey saying, well, no, he would have to be our starter, and I think he's good enough to be our starter. Why would he say that if they're planning on sending him down? I mean, that's Davey essentially calling his shot there, right? So I think it's happening. I think we can prepare for it. And he's earned it, honestly. I mean, to some extent, like, everything's not a meritocracy, but you want to, especially with these young guys, you want to send the right message, don't you, Tobe? Like, hey, if you do what we say, you come up and you kick ass, you deliver the way you're supposed to, it's going to mean something. And I think that keeping Lipscomb on the roster would do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just feels like he can't do anything more than what he's done. And it feels like he's earned the right. The other thing, too, he's played a little bit of first base. He's played all over the infield. So it's just one of those things, too, where you see guys all around Major League Baseball. I think of a Kike Hernandez or Chris Taylor for the Dodgers for years. they never knew what position they were going to play. And obviously they play some outfield, but they never knew what position they were going to show up to the ballpark and play, but they knew they were in the lineup. You can do that with Trey Lipscomb. You don't know. He doesn't know if he's going to play second today, third today, short today, first today, but he can move all over the place and you can give guys the day off and just figure out how to do it. And Davey can get flexible with that. It makes Davey's job a little more fun, I think. But when you've earned it like he has at the plate, I just don't see any reason to not give him a spot and just find a way to make it work, especially when, you know, the guys that we're talking about that could take a spot away from him are Luis Garcia and Nassim Nunez, who, you know, there's definite flaws there.
Yeah, and we're talking about, you know, a guy that's now right at the top of the board in almost every category for them. Now, their best player in spring training statistically might still be James Wood. And maybe someone's listening who says, well, wait a second. You know, why are we saying there's nothing else Lipscomb could have done or, you know, he deserves it, but not saying the same about James Wood? Well, listen, he had two more plate appearances, drew two more walks. He has, by the way, been doing that all spring long, 10 walks and 12 strikeouts. So while 12 strikeouts and 40 at-bats, far from problematic or anything like that, is still not nothing. That's 30% of his at-bats. He's struck out a lot more as spring's gone on than he did early on. I mean, 10 walks erases those. When you're walking the same as you're striking out, like his on base is .481. That's phenomenal. Like, that's, if you did that all year long, you'd lead the big leagues and Juan Soto would be going, how the hell do you do that? .625 slug is just about best on the team. I think Alex Call by a hair or two, believe it or not, has a better slug. But at .1106 with his OPS, only Alex Call, again, who's had a crazy spring and has been red hot, only he has a better OPS on the entire team. So why does Wood not make it? Well, it could be a couple things. Remember, Lipscomb was an SEC player. James Wood was a high school player. They were drafted the same year, going back a couple years ago. But Lipscomb in 2022 came out of the SEC, which is almost like, you know, he was playing at Tennessee, competing against LSU and Vanderbilt and those schools. I think that's like A-plus ball, frankly, the schedule that they play, the quality of the baseball. So you're talking about someone who was very advanced compared to a James Wood playing high school at IMG Academy. There are nuances that we just can't really score or grade. Base running, going first to third, picking up reads. Not to say James Wood isn't going to be terrific defensively or that he hasn't been in camp. Like, he misplayed a couple balls, as you said. He was kind of struggling with the sun. I'm not saying that's a concern, that could happen to anybody. But my point is, there are these little tiny nuances where they can maybe say, hey, if we put him down in the minor leagues and give him a few weeks, it's not going to hurt him, right? Whereas Lipscomb, I just view as a little further along, specific to the college background and coming from the SEC and being drafted, you know, where he was, and he's moved very quickly. He's been comfortable. I would also just add lastly on this, I wouldn't tell you James Wood hasn't looked ready. Like, if they put him in the big leagues, I'd say, yeah, I get it. But the difference is Lipscomb's in the infield where they've got a lot less, and Wood's in the outfield where Robles has had a good spring. Call has had a good spring. I'm not saying these guys will eventually block him, but just in terms of guys that came in the big league mix. Jacob Young has had a really good spring. They signed a veteran from outside the organization who's a former LCS MVP who's going to start on opening day. Lane Thomas has had a good spring. So the outfield versus the infield, in my opinion, is just a very, very different conversation as well. But I would also just say James Wood is good enough and is probably ready as well. But those are reasons why I'm just trying to think about what someone might be thinking as they're listening. And we're talking about Lipscomb making it, but we're not saying the same things about Wood.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it were down to us, GP, like, James Wood would be on the roster. But I just think when you look at the other factors, like you mentioned, I think the outfield has much more talent out there that you're just comfortable with, right? Depending upon what happens with Victor Robles, you're looking at Robles, you're looking at Jacob Young out there, you're looking at Eddie Rosario, you're looking at maybe Jesse Winker and Lane Thomas. That's five guys right there. They're probably only keeping four, so they might move on from, you know, they might send Jacob Young down to start the year, or they might not keep Jesse Winker or something like that. Like, there's definitely a route that James Wood can make it. It just doesn't seem as likely. It seems like there is a likely path now for Trey Lipscomb. And it's more so the fact too, that Trey Lipscomb's been in the lineup, like you said, every single day down the stretch here as we're getting closer and closer to opening day. It hasn't necessarily been the case for James Wood, but if you're going to make the argument who's been most impressive and who showed that they're the most ready, James Wood is right there with Trey Lipscomb. Just unfortunately, it doesn't seem like he's going to make the opening day roster, but we've also talked about this. It doesn't seem like, you know, Dylan Cruz, I think, is going to take a little time in the minors before maybe he's ready. So, you know, maybe us talking about July, maybe it needs to be pushed back a little bit, depending upon how he does. I think it's kind of hard to project because he just hasn't had that breakout yet. James Wood has kind of had that breakout here in the spring. Maybe he's ready to come up, you know, early June, maybe a little bit earlier than that. Like, maybe you're seeing him earlier than what we were planning when we were thinking maybe July, a little bit earlier in the spring.
Dylan Cruz, 4-for-30. At the plate in spring training. Disappointing, for to be sure. I mean, I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it. A couple of doubles among the four hits. It's not like he's struck out a ton. I mean, he does have 12 strikeouts in 30 at-bats, which, again, is, you know, you look at the percentage there, that's close to 40%. So fairly alarming and significant if it was over, you know, 50 games or something like that. But because we're talking about games where you're coming off the bench cold, you're starting occasionally, you're in and out of the lineup, nothing overly concerning. It's annoying that Wyatt Langford is homering like every single time he bats, who was the Rangers pick behind Dylan Cruz. So everyone's now over probably talking about what's going on with Dylan Cruz. Way, way, way too early to compare those early. Two. I'm such a Cruz guy. I believe in the bat. I believe in the skills. He's going to be just fine. But Langford has 6 spring training home runs after getting to AAA and demolishing the baseball last year, and just looks like he's, you know, Mike Trout. So all of a sudden, everyone's starting to look at in the fan base is going, come on, Dylan, what's going on? But it's going to come. I'm not concerned. We'll reassess him as we go. How about this guy, though? A guy that doesn't hit at all, and we knew that. But, man, has he lived up to that. Joey Gallo is 3-for-31 this spring. With 14 strikeouts, a team high, he does a lot of that too. An .097 batting average and a .305 OPS, which, if I wasn't looking at it, I wouldn't believe after 30 at bats or whatever it is. Man, oh man, Toby. I mean, it's spring training. I promise I don't get reactionary to this, but my God, would I like to see him start to do a little bit more at the plate, or just put the ball in play a little louder?
Yeah, just do something, right? I mean, even for his standards, a sub-100 batting average is pretty poor.
Yeah, we signed up, meaning you and I and this fan base, right? We signed up for sub-200 batting average with power.
Yeah.
We're getting sub-100 batting average without the power. Yeah. A little different.
Yeah, and also, he's going to be playing first base, not gold glove caliber outfield. So, I don't know. It's something that's – he's someone that's really struggled the last couple of years. They're taking a flyer on him, and – it's another one of those guys like they did with Nelson Cruz. It didn't work out with Nelson Cruz. They did it with Jamer Candelario. It worked out with Jamer Candelario. So it's one of those things. They're just taking another swing here, see if they can maybe get a guy on a one-year deal that, ironically, they're paying over three. But a one-year deal that they can hopefully move at the deadline. And obviously, we talk about Trey Lipscomb. Depending upon what happens with the opening day roster, there's going to be some guys that are hopefully ready to be called up, and hopefully – Joey Gallo's playing well, that he can be moved to a contender and you get a young guy coming up in his spot. So, I mean, that's ideal. Hasn't shown that case in spring training, but it's spring training.
Toby Altizer, Grant Paulson, Boston Loose Baseball, producer Darris Dameron, making it all sound good. Please spread the word. You got buddies who are Nats fans, text them a link to the pod. Please tell them to subscribe, rate, and review so we can make this sucker work as the season goes on. Do whatever the podcasty things you got to do are to get it into your feed. It's very helpful if you, click a 5-star rating for us or leave a comment. We appreciate you guys enjoying the pod. Thanks so much. We're back at it before opening day on Monday.